tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello. Sorry, we're using a new streaming platform and I unmuted myself right when it unmuted me. And that's pretty par for the course for me. Hi, my name is Liz. This is my lovely co-host JD, and this is RBLR Sun FC. JD, how are we doing?
Good morning. We're doing okay. We're tired. There was a Formula One race in the middle of the night. If you know me, you know that I do not miss those. And so I was up at 3 a.m. this morning. And now I'm here. And then I remembered what the sun did to me on Friday. And maybe I'm not okay. I don't know. I feel fine. I feel okay. And interestingly, it's Sunday as we record this, which is not normal, because we wanted to get a preview out with ample time for our listeners to take in this upcoming Wednesday game. So just so you know, right off the bat, why this is so early, it's on purpose. We think about these things a little bit. How are you doing, Liz?
About the same. I distinctly remember when I realized I had to rewatch this game, I looked at Mike and I was like, can I do it drunk? That's the only thing going to make it tolerable. And unfortunately, I cannot get drunk in the middle of a Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. I did go to Culver's halfway through the second half of this game. That was a
much better than watching the second half.
I did watch the rest
was,
of it.
That was the correct choice, quite frankly.
I did watch the rest of it at Culver's and cried into my cheese curds. So, so let's get into the recap so we can get over it and move on with the Tampa Bay Sun in our lives overall.
All right. So the lineup on the screen still seems like a little bit different than what was actually on the field. Up top, I think we had Weber and Parsons, and then we had Giamona like right behind them in the center, more so. And then Nocello and Zaid on the wings. Listro and Provo as our attacking mids, although have changed out Provo for this. Henny, Bissett, and Chisholm is our backline, and Wegner in goal, who I'm going to just say right off the top had a phenomenal game, and I have no complaints with Wegner from this entire match.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting solution, I guess, to Jordan Fusco getting recalled, is that, okay, we have to fill her position. And I think we did it kind of with Giamona, but we also had Parsons play a little bit more of an open role too. So I think we were still trying to do like a fluid, the forwards kind of fill whatever space they can find at the time, as opposed to being fully locked into a single position. The only change of this lineup was that Shimkin came off from our last starting lineup, was that Shimkin came off, and that was where Weber came into it as well. So Giamona and Weber came into the team. Obviously, Fusco is no longer with us. She's on the wave. And she was on the bench, by the way, of their opener. So that is why they recalled her, is so they could have her. And they wanted
Don't even get me started on all the players that got recalled and then didn't play.
Yeah. Well, Jordan did. Well, she didn't play, but she was on the bench, which means she could have played.
So was Emma Gaines Ramos on the bench. Guess who wasn't on the bench? Emery Elgin.
It is what it is. And then, yeah, we had we talked about in the last game recap how Shimkin was a little bit neutralized in the first half of Fort Lauderdale, and she came off at halftime. And I think this might have been a continuation of that, thinking that Giamona could fill that role and add a little bit more maybe creativity or just more identity there. And so I think that was the intention behind it. I don't think the execution ended up quite where anybody wanted it. But yeah, those are the changes. And then the bench was McNeil, Gaillard, Shimkin, of course, Pokorny, which I definitely think she could be involved in starting pretty soon. This is the second time she's been on the bench, right? So, and played. Brian, Haugen, and then Beardsley was our keeper on the bench. And I just want to note about Wegener. You already mentioned she had a great game. I totally agree with that. And she also had the save of the month in February. The fan voted, you know, social media save of the month for her 1v1, one-on-one against Heather Locklear. That was a really, really good just total shutdown of a one-on-one situation against a really great forward. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. And that's Kiara Locklear, not Heather Locklear, the actress that I just said.
Did you really?
Self-correction. I wrote Locklear in the notes and my brain was like, yeah, the actress Heather Locklear. So she won Save of the Month for that. Totally deserved. I think even at the time we were like, that might be Save of the Month. And none of the saves in this match, I don't think we cover any of them because a lot of them were just pretty much catches or she went to ground and blocked the ball very effectively. There was nothing that was like all-star incredible from her this match because it wasn't needed. So she just did her job as solidly as she could. And ultimately the goal that got past her was a bit of a worldie. So there's just not many goalkeepers out there that are going to be stopping something like that. So definitely happy with Wegener, and she definitely deserved Save of the Month last month. But heading into the game, Liz, what did you see during the first half?
I saw that we should have changed a lot of things very early on. It was Tyler Lucy's first match with Carolina. They just picked her up, and I can see why. She's very, very good. It's a little annoying, actually. And her job was, I'm going to be magnetized to Nocello if she ever gets the ball. If you go to we're starting at the 18th minute, not a lot. There were good plays in this match. Lots of good plays. Like, I can't say that, like, I mean, there were a lot of bad plays too, don't get me wrong. Plenty of missed passes, but there were a lot of good plays, but the problem is that they didn't result in a goddamn thing. And it was so frustrating. So that's why we're starting at like the 18th minute, because everything else is like, I could run through it and do like the long game notes like we used to do, but I'm just going to be telling you play by plays and you can look that up yourself. So Tyler Lucy, as soon as, if you go to the 18th minute on the stream, she zooms in onto the screen as soon as Nocello gets the ball. As soon as we noticed that Tyler Lucy was assigned to Nocello, unless, and this is a possibility, DSB had a specifically assigned Nocello to Tyler Lucy, which is very possible. I still think we could have had Zayd. We could have switched Nocello and Zayd. And then Zayd is plenty fast. We know that. She is like a horse running down the field. I think we could have had Zayd stay on Tyler Lucy, and then would have had Nocello free to do Nocello things. And I think that would have made a huge difference in this game.
I think we'll touch on this a little bit more, but I think we're not able to be as adaptable because we're playing with just like very fluid positions. We're not really holding. The only like in the final third of any opponent, like in our final third against any opponent this spring season, the only player that has played a position is Jordan Zayd on the right flank. That is it. Everyone else has been a very fluid bunch of players in the midfield. And we've played very light on the left. Sometimes Nocello goes out there. At one point during this game, Parsons was out there. In other games, Shimkin's been out there. Fusco is out there. So many players have filled that area of the field, but they haven't played that position. And so I think one of the things we're running into is when you do start getting shut down player on player by player, you aren't able to adapt because the player that's being shut down doesn't have a recognizable space that they're occupying, because we're kind of just going anywhere that there's openings with anyone. And so that's been like something that I think has been working more against us. It could be beautiful football if every single pass connected and every single forward didn't shoot it directly at the keeper. I'll get into that later, but we aren't having it be beautiful football. It's not working out. So there is definitely something in there. Even in the Fort Lauderdale game, I noticed that congestion kind of in the central forward position in the midfield. And I think this is a game where it came back on us a little bit more, where we just don't play the wings very much. We don't get the ball wide. We don't move the ball around. It's just, can this one player make a run? No, then we've lost that chance. To rant on your very first note of the game and to move into the next few things, we did have some chances. So in the 28th minute, I think this was our best chance of the game. Unfortunately, it was pretty early on. But Parsons made the best through ball I think I've ever seen from a Tampa Bay Sun player. It was just a brilliant delivery. She got it in, I want to say maybe like halfway up from the center circle to the box, just in open field heading into the final third, collects it and just passes it perfectly between the two center backs, and Weber makes the run up the middle. Weber gets possession. She does not take like a touch to line it up. She's definitely flanked by the defenders on both sides, so I don't think she's wrong for not taking an additional touch, but with the one touch she took, she sent it pretty much right to the middle of goal, and Sydney Martinez did not have to move very much to shut it down. I thought the pass was brilliant. She broke the lines. She broke through the defense, and she had a really great opportunity. If she sent it top corner, she does try to like do kind of like the fadeaway, kind of curve it around. I think based on her shot a little bit later in the game, the angle of approach she had on that, she could have sent it. She could have as well have sent it wide of the net anyways, but Sydney Martinez was able to get to it. But it was a brilliant pass. So I want to give Maddie Parsons, this show is the JD Praises Maddie Parsons show usually. And that will not stop in this episode because I think she's one of our best players, and she just shows up and puts it out there and has some really great skill to back it up with passes like that happening. In the 30th minute, Nocello just finds some space, solo Nocello things, shoots it from kind of right on the edge of the box, but also essentially directly to Martinez right in the middle of the net. I would love to have seen her maybe take an extra dribble. That's crazy to say when normally she's dribbling too much and doesn't get a shot off. But the one time she got a shot off going straight to keeper, I'm not super satisfied with that. I do want to see some trickery happening. I feel like, Faith Weber is a striker. She can score goals. She scored a lot of goals in college. And there also wasn't really a lot of trickery happening from her in terms of, getting it past, finding the hole. If it's between their legs or if it's around them, we just weren't finding those opportunities through the game. A little bit later on in the 38th minute, there is a high bouncing ball into the box, and Parsons does her thing. She chases and really pressures to get in there. Essentially, Butler, the defender, heads it very casually, thinking that Sydney Martinez is going to be able to collect it as the goalkeeper. And Parsons gets between them essentially and says, nope, I'm here, and gets a toe on it. But Sydney Martinez did a great job closing it down and getting close enough. So she basically immediately blocks it. I think there's one more like ricochet after it bounces off Martinez the first time. But other than that, I think that was great pressure from Parsons. It was a heads up. I've said this about her. And when she first scored her goal, when she gets into the box, she unlocks like another level of heads up play. She really just knows exactly where she needs to be. And this is something that I feel could be cleared up about how we overall have been structuring our team and our attack, is I would love to see Maddie Parsons in the box more. I know that we are putting Faith Weber on as like a dedicated striker, and that Parsons can fill a little bit more of a hold up role and maybe do a little bit more distribution, which she has shown she can do as well. But she just has such great soccer IQ in the box, out of the box, but in the boxes where goals are mostly scored from, and I would like to see more goals. So I would like to put a high soccer IQ player in the box. So that was pretty much our last major opportunity heading into halftime. Halftime 0-0. Neither team, they had a few that were just collected casually. We didn't even bother noting them because they weren't necessarily egregious defensive mistakes from us. And any time that they did get a shot off, Wegener was there to collect it. But I felt like in the first half, we held our defensive shape pretty well. Actually, I remember at one point, maybe it was like the 35th minute or something like that, I was like, if we keep this structure and keep this hold, the forwards will have time to figure it out. And what isn't working up front should come good by the end of the game, as long as we keep holding this shape. But I thought, that defensive structure is doing its job. Bissett definitely, I think, had a really good game in both halves. Ultimately, in the first half, she held for him, and Hendricks as well was pretty solid. And Chisholm has been underrated as well for me. Just I probably haven't said her name enough, and she's definitely closing players down, putting on pressure, not letting the pass. So our defense definitely gets a shout out in the first half. They're not, Carolina isn't a casual team. They're one of the best teams we've played in our last little run of games. And the first half looked, well, underwhelming offensively, definitely defensively, like we were in the game.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too much defense and not enough offense. But I guess I can't complain too much. Like you said, they didn't score, so that's something. But I think now is when DSB should have realized I need to just make some subs. And I didn't know this. I'm still learning every day. Halftime, you can make subs at halftime, and it doesn't count against your three opportunities. So, like, why the fuck not? I'm going to use my one for that. Why not? Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that goes to how we were in the Fort Lauderdale game too, when we talked about how we weren't making subs. We maybe needed to at one point, and I think you think the game is going well on the sideline. DSB's watching, and she thinks, okay, we're one Weber finesse touch away. We're one Sydney Nacella magic moment away from having the lead, and then we do want to play defensive, and then we do theoretically want those players still out there in a more defensive shape. So it sucks to get all the way to the end of the game and realize it's too late. But at the same time, in the moment, you know, the risk of changing something up is also risking everything that was going right changing too. So,
but there wasn't, if we're not getting close enough to the goal, how much is going right? And we're already in last place. So why not just throw everything at the wall at this point?
That's a good point. Absolutely. Yeah.
We're in last place. We have nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Yeah. And we're not going up. We beat the team in eighth.
No.
And then we have not beat anyone else. We've been drawing and then we lost. So
yeah.
You're right. Yeah. I think you're definitely right. Your impassioned argument has made me change my mind a little bit. There's no pragmatism. We should just try random shit.
Yeah. I mean, what is the point in being safe at this point? I don't know. I understand. Like, I talked about this with Mike, and he was like, well, maybe DSB doesn't want to seem like she's putting the wrong lineup out immediately, and then you change it at halftime. Looks like the coach did something wrong. It's like, no. Looks like the coach is adapting. Looks like the coach is like, no, this isn't working. We need to, how do we fix this?
Yeah,
I don't mind 45-minute subs. We know that it takes like 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to get cooking. So like when we don't bring them in till like the 63rd minute, I mean, it was actually better than last time. 63rd minute's not too bad. But like when we've been bringing them in like the 70th minute and then they don't get cooking till the 90th.
Yeah, you right. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I do agree with that. We do know how to make subs at halftime because we brought off Jill Shimkin last game at halftime. So I think that is a good point, and it's something that we've been able to identify in the past. So maybe this game was a little more high stakes. And then I hate to ask this to you because I don't have a good answer myself, but this is your argument, so now I have to push back. Is who do we bring off the bench that's better than who we had out there? Like,
I think we could have started Picorni where we had Faith Weber. I also think we could have brought in Gaillard instead of Provo. Gaillard is much more attacking. She's more attacking than midfielder, if that makes sense. And I think we needed that because Jordy was doing it. This is one of Jordy's best games, in my opinion. Her and Maddie Parsons were doing a phenomenal amount of hold up play, and the pass and the move. Pass and then move, and then let me get somewhere else that you can pass to me. I think they were doing a phenomenal job with that. I think Jordy needed a touch more help in the attacking part, where I think Gaillard really excels and Provo is still kind of working on it. She's a much more defensive midfielder. Sometimes we need that. This just wasn't one of those games.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see some rotation. We built up some consistency. We drew a couple games and then we won against Fort Lauderdale. But again, Fort Lauderdale isn't challenging opposition. I was going to say no offense to them, but offense to them. I don't like Fort Lauderdale. But they're not necessarily our best opponent. So us getting three past them was what should happen. And what happened in Carolina is what shouldn't be happening and still is continuing to happen. So you're right. Some rotation should be happening.
The one thing I was going to say, and I thought about this too when I was watching the game, is I don't have, unless you miss a pass, you make a really clear error in judgment in something you're doing. I'm not criticizing the players by any means. They're just doing what they're being told to do. I hate to say that I'm just criticizing DSB, but I don't want the players to feel like I'm just shitting on them for doing what their job is.
Yeah. Well, that was something that Maddie Parsons said in the post-game interview as well, is that she said, we're playing a system and it's about believing in that system. And yeah, that is why in my opinion, she was out of position for a lot of this game. Like I said, I want to see her in the box involved in either the last touch or the second to last touch on almost every attempt at goal. And she ran up the wing at one point and the defender totally had her locked down. That's definitely not any negative about Maddie Parsons. It's just not the position where she excels, in my opinion. And so those kinds of situations, and she literally said they're playing a system and that's the intention of the system. So I agree as well, is that our players have been putting in great shifts and we see great attempts.
There's so much effort. So much effort, but it's not polished.
Yeah. So let's get through the second half and then we can continue this. Maybe we'll have as much to say at full time. Coming out of halftime, by the 49th minute, there was actually a pretty cool sequence between Parsons, who kind of offloaded it to Nocello, who also played a little hold up and offloaded it to Weber. I liked the kind of double, just moving it forward. And this is like, we don't get a lot of passes in build up frequently with the Sun lately. And so this was a nice, I don't have space, offload. You don't have space, get it to Weber. And Weber just sends it kind of high and wide off the side, netting. Unfortunate, but she had a really small angle there really to go for goal. And Sydney Martinez has been playing a great game so far. So there's no reason to think that even if Weber had put it on frame, she wouldn't have got there. And I also like that was a little bit of an adaptation from Weber in her first attempt. Like I said, with that through ball from Parsons, she didn't take the extra touch. She might not have had time. She was getting closed down on. But in this instance, she did take the extra touch to kind of line up to get it on her other foot. And I liked the opportunity and the attempt. It just ended up a little off to the side there. So that was unfortunate, because it wasn't too long after that Carolina ended up scoring their goal. Tyler Lucy just ran it in all by herself and kind of scored a banger from the edge of the box. It was kind of the middle of the box. I don't want to say the edge because it wasn't quite that far.
But was closer to the edge than it was center.
Yeah. Very long shot, kind of over the Wegener's shoulder and just into the opposite side netting. So you can imagine one of those that just goes across the entire frame of the goal and ends up in the opposite side netting. So yeah, it was a banger. I said as much when the team posted it on Twitter. I replied and I was like, it was kind of a banger though. And they were like, whose side are you on? I was like, look, if you're a soccer fan, you recognize when somebody scores a little bit of a worldie.
Recognizes game. That was good. Like, it was like when Jacksonville played us and it was 3-0, it was three worldies. What are you going to do?
And Jacksonville obviously has continued to go on and have a great season. So it's like, that's even less like they're just doing that to everybody right now. You know, bottom of the table Sun isn't going to be the team that stops you. But yeah, this is a great goal by Lucy, unfortunately. And I think Wegener did a great job at.
Who was that? What was this?
It's the automatic dog feeder, because we don't normally do it at this time. And it goes off at 6 p.m. That's kind of funny. It has a.
It sounded like gunshots. That's why I thought it was Counter-Strike for a minute.
Well, no, it's certainly not that bad. And you might hear it.
Now I realize that makes sense.
Here's the funny thing. I don't know if Tia will be embarrassed by this, but it has a recorded message that you can say when the thing goes off. And so it's her going like, blue food. And it like repeats a couple times. So I don't know if you heard that, but that's kind of
funny. Yeah, okay.
But it was not gunshots, fortunately. It was just the little... the food falling down.
I thought gunshots, because I was like, oh, is there a Counter-Strike
thing? Yeah, probably. No, I did close the tab where I was watching Counter-Strike when we started recording. I am a professional, so.
Okay.
We were on the goal, right? What was your take on kind of what happened there?
All right, so we just didn't press on this for some reason. Faith Weber doesn't step to Mia Corbin, and Mia Corbin is like a silent but deadly player. She hasn't been like she started in this match. She didn't start in the last match, I think, or the match previous. So I was a little surprised, but not, because like I said, Mia Corbin's good. She doesn't get stepped at by Faith. So she passes it long to Tyler Lucy, and Henny is just kind of following her, backing off the whole time. And then goes for too long. She'll just foul her. If she fouls her, she fouls her in the box. And she shoots from just inside the box. Like, it was far enough out that I was really pissed off about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, now that you mentioned it, I didn't remember in my recall, but yeah, this is a mistake from Brooke Hendricks. Yeah. For me, she does not put enough pressure on. And while it was that's what a good player does, is takes an opportunity where you're not being pressured enough to turn it into something that nobody really expected to happen. And so that's what she does, is like, well, if you're not going to step to me, I am going to take the shot. And she took the shot and scored it. So this was definitely one of the most like one-to-one, like this was one of our players' mistakes, and that was on Hendricks in this situation. So super, super frustrating that we defensively were holding such a good shape all game, and to give it up in a small opportunity like that, I was pretty frustrated at that. And she has not, this half of the season, or maybe even this whole season, has not been, I don't want to say herself, but she's definitely been a little bit underperforming compared to what I kind of expect from her. Last year, I saw her as a very solid rock, a very solid foundation on our back line. And this year I'm seeing a little bit less of that and a little bit more giving an opportunity away, letting a pass go by, not pressuring a player enough. So obviously she is going to know these same things about her play as well. So this isn't to say, that I want to rotate it out of the team yet or anything like that. But I think, or I hope that she knows that she could do more in a situation like that. And she looks to do that next time, you know?
I'm going to push back just a smidgel bit. I think she's not necessarily underperforming. I think that just the errors that she's making feel more egregious because we're so desperate for points.
Yeah.
So something like this that directly leads to a goal is like, well, but the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be coloring my perception of it as well. But of course, one example that I want to give as well is that Taylor Chisholm also did a similar thing. I don't remember if it was DC or maybe our second game of the spring, but Taylor just let a player get a cross off that led to a goal. Actually, I think Hendricks was covering on the other end of that and didn't block the header, but. And then in the next game, there was another situation where she was being challenged like that, and she just totally bossed up and stepped into it and blocked the cross or blocked the, yeah, I think it was going to be a cross. So I liked seeing kind of like a learning moment. Of course, with Taylor, the difference in context is that she is a first-time professional. You know, we're talking, she's still in her fifth professional game or fourth. So obviously she's learning at a really rapid rate, and Brooke has a lot more experience. So, but you might be right. It might be that I've noticed that Brooke has been involved in a couple goals against us when that goal was the difference maker and lost us, you know, points. So that's true.
And especially because I feel like Brooke was actually pretty solid for the most of the game. Hence, we only had one goal against us. I think that while we lost, and that's really frustrating, I think it still says something that a fourth place team was only able to get one singular goal on us.
Yeah.
And I think Brooke was pretty solid to the point where she was trying to help. She was getting up past the midfield at some points, just trying to help push the ball up as much as she could. So I think she also was trying to wear like 8 different hats for this match.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a point where we had everyone across, I think, the midfield line just with that pressure trying to push towards the end. So, yeah, that's a good point too. It would feel different. And also a result like this, finishing 1-0 down, would be totally different if we were fifth. you know, like we sat for most of last season. We were fifth. We were right outside of the playoffs. And then when we got good and we turned losses and draws into draws and wins, this part of the season could be our draws and wins part of the season, but that is not enough from where we're starting from. So yeah, you're right. The pressure feels like it's on more, and then small mistakes, you know, get a little bit inflated from there. Moving through the rest of the game, in the 78th minute, Julie Shimkin shot kind of over Martinez. I think this is the only time we beat her during the game with like a shot that was kind of like on or around frame. We obviously missed a few times just off target, but she was as close to on target as you can be without actually scoring the goal. It was very unlucky that it did end up bouncing off the crossbar. Nacella collected it and kind of tried to recycle it. You know, she tried to find a little bit of space and get another cross in, but I literally paused and counted. Carolina had 10 in the box, counting the keeper, but Carolina had 9 outfield players in the box defending the sequence. So it's pretty hard to get anything going from there. So from there, we ended up getting it out for a corner. Fortunately, at least we got that. Nacella sends it back post, and Taylor Chisholm actually gets kind of a nice looping header over, but it landed on top of the net. It wasn't ultimately a threat. So a couple sequences there where we showed that we were attempting to respond. Also, Jill Shimkin being involved, I think, is a good showing for her. And while she didn't start this game, maybe she's an option to come in and fix some of that attacking unknowingness that we have up there, because
we missed the subs. See.
Yes, I did not note down the subs.
No, so 61st minute, McNeil came on for Zaid, Shimkin came on for Weber, and Gaillard came on for Provo. So just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, we made some of the changes that were needed and could have led to us getting it done, but also Carolina tightened up as well. And especially once they had the lead, I'm not going to say they weren't playing to score more, because they absolutely did have a few more sequences where they were pushing. But in defense, you know, you have forwards and forward midfielders way more willing to track back to defend a lead rather than if it's a tie game or you're trailing. So they were playing a more tighter defense. And so those subs might have been, like you said, it might have been too late because they had already had the lead by that point and are willing to play a little bit more brave on defense. And if we had made those subs a little bit earlier, we could have taken advantage of them playing a little bit more open. So yeah, that's a good point. But then nothing really happened for the rest of the game, and I have no more notes. It ended, and it was 1-0 to Carolina Ascent. And that was, and I was at Culver's, and the cheese curds were good and the soccer was not. And I, you know,
Would you like to know the most depressing stat of this game?
Yes.
We had 3 shots on target. They were all in the first half. Yeah. No shots on target in the second half.
Yeah.
And 7 corners. They had 1, by the way. 1. The whole match. 1. We had 7. We didn't do shit with it.
Well, we just started taking corners long instead of short, so it's like a new thing for us.
Oh my god, no.
That was
another complaint I had with this match. We did way too many short passes. They had us absolutely neutralized when it came to short passes. We needed long ones. You saw at the end, Viv was just shooting from three quarters of the way out, 3 quarters of the way down the field, just shooting the ball into the center, like someone will get it.
Yeah, hoping somebody gets on the end of it.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed about Carolina, and this speaks to them being in the top four, they did move into the top four off of this result and the points. So they're a playoff team, absolutely, or playoff contending team, absolutely. And with Dallas losing a few recently, I think Dallas is the one ahead of them. You know, they could be looking at top three. Again, I'm not sure if anyone's climbing as high as Lexington or Jacksonville, but it's possible. And Carolina look really good. And they're a team that had really distinct passing lanes, especially out of the back four and moving up through the middle. And I feel like I could always kind of anticipate when a player had the ball, where they were going to, where their options were. They knew it. Even like the defending Sun players ultimately know it, but you can't cover every player because one-on-ones they can get past you, so you have to cover kind of zones and areas, and their lines were so distinct that it allowed them to build up so consistently. And over the course of the match, they improved and figured out where our weaknesses were. Ultimately, the goal was kind of like a Tyler Lucie, like solo great moment. So I'm not going to say that they like were prime Barcelona team goal scored against us, but that is what we're lacking. We're lacking a clear line. And when it gets too late in the game, squeaky bum time, they're sending it route one just over the top. I'm going to see how many British soccer sayings I can say in like one in one analysis. But yeah, and my key takeaway from this game, I only wrote one down, and it's that we really haven't learned a thing. I've learned more about these players individually. A lot of players have earned a lot of respect from me. I share it in the show when it's deserved. And I feel like they're being put in a system, or at least we're trying to employ a system that does not work to their strengths. Ultimately, when we scored goals, it was players who in the box had ideas, and we could get through space. And against better teams like Carolina, when they have a much more structured defense, or they're able to tighten up when needed, we don't have any ideas. We run out of ideas, and then we just have players running into what looks like open space, but then there's no opportunities from that. So great, Nacella has the ball down the side. Great, you know, Provo has the ball in the center circle. Where are we going with that? They're all over us. And we don't have a distinct structure to build off of. We don't pass it around. I don't want to see like possession-based passing it back constantly. I do like the idea of just kind of pulsing forward like we do, but the players and the positions that they're being asked to play in, it's seeming not to work out. And I mentioned it 4 weeks ago, and then I mentioned it 3 weeks ago, because I see these things in the games, and we got good results, or we got some results against better teams. Then we beat Fort Lauderdale, and that felt really good, but Fort Lauderdale aren't fantastic. So, you know, I think we got a little bit schooled here, and Carolina, a team that has a better tactical identity and structural identity, just gave us the business enough and shut. And really, it's us being shut down in the second half that was the end of it. We had to score early if we were going to draw or win this game, and those, you know, opportunities just didn't happen. So,
yeah, we have like a free floating form, and that's kind of been our thing, and it was working, and then obviously it stopped working, and then it kind of started working again, and now it is fully broken. Like I said, we had players all over the dang field. We had Henny coming up to midfield. We had Faith Weber for some reason behind, I think, Jordy at one point or something. Everybody was everywhere, and I don't think everybody knew where they were supposed to be. I don't know if we changed something. I think we should have made subs at halftime and just tried anything at that point. I think, like I said before, we needed more long passes. We were also really slow to get out of the box. There was one point where, like, Nacello took off after the ball. Everybody else was still in the dang box. Like, where's her help? I think I said that multiple times. Like, where is her help?
Yeah. She feels it too. I've seen a couple moments of hers where she gets the ball, looks up, and sees no one. And then she puts in a shot herself, or attempts to. This might not have been this game, but I've seen it in other games. And then, like, afterwards, it's like, you want to think, you know, you hope for toxicity reasons, you hope that she's going like this because she missed, and like, I know that sometimes she's going like that because there wasn't anyone supporting her, and that is absolutely the case sometimes. You know, I obviously, she's a very passionate player, she's also a very fiery player, so you know, she definitely can get frustrated, and then that's going to affect her ability to think and play with heads up. And so, yeah, I definitely said the same things at a couple points. It's just like, where's the help? Where's the space? It's like we play so fluid, and then it's fluid like Jell-O.
Know? Like, and then we melted.
Yeah.
We just, it was bad. It was not a great game. Like I said, we had 3 shots on target out of 11.
Yeah. It was the first half we could have had a win of. Like the performance in the first half, if Faith Weber just opens maybe like the outside of her foot a little bit more and gets that ball around and scores that goal, maybe we take a 1-0 lead. Maybe we get another one before halftime. Like we were definitely on the front foot in the first half and we held them to very limited possession in their final third. They were not getting it forward a lot. It's like we were pretty close, but that is not it. And the teams that are above us on the table, which is all of them in this league so far, are finding ways to win in a game in a situation like that, where you do come out the better team, or you come out of the, you know, the start of the game, the better team. And as the game goes on, they tip the scale in their favor and figure it out and solve those problems. And we don't, and we don't learn throughout the course of a game. And like you said, by the time the subs came on as well, they had already figured out what they wanted to do, and it didn't matter who we put out there. They were going to be able to pressure. So yeah, pretty rough one. You know, if I was at home alone, I would have been really upset, but I was at Culver's with my friends, so it was only like a little bit worse, but they can tell you, David can tell you, I was a grumpy post at the Culver's for a little bit after full time, you know. Are we ready to talk about the rest of the league, how things went? Did you have anything else you wanted to share about Carolina?
No.
Okay.
No, maybe I want to wipe this game from my memory. Thank you.
Just replace it. Just copy and paste your away day in Carolina memory when you went up there.
I've actually never seen them win at Carolina.
Well, you know.
I've only ever seen them tie. It's very annoying.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing too. We haven't mentioned, but that was the first time we ever lost to the Ascent.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I know. One of my friends, my friend who I would usually stay with when I would go to games, texted me. She's like, sorry for winning. And I was like, well, first time for everything.
I guess so. You know, we want to become a long storied, historied league. Everything is going to have to happen, you know, at some point. So, well, across the league, there were a few other games on the 12th. So that was the Thursday before our Friday game. DC Power and Dallas Trinity played to a 1-1 draw. Loza Ibarra got the goal in the 17th minute for DC. And then in the 44th before halftime, Brittany Balser got the goal for Dallas.
It's Brittany Boss now.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, she got married.
Good. Congratulations. Brittany Boss got the goal in the 44th
minute. I just noticed that. Otherwise, I would have just fixed it on the sheet. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It was, well, then the league source that I wrote my notes from should have it updated too, but.
Yeah, that is a common theme. Yeah. I have seen three different names for one person.
Yeah.
On one page.
I mean, they still don't get Gaillard right. So, though, but that one I know, but. Brittany doesn't play for us, so I wouldn't.
Can we? By the way, the announcers and their time trying to say Gaillard, Gaillard. They were just like they were just trying to put G A a Y and then like some vowel sounds, and then that was Gaillard. It's very funny.
Well, you know, that'll be one of our off season episodes. Is we'll do like a pronunciation guide and we'll send it to all the league commentators. Yep. On the 15th, as if we should be telling anyone what to do. On the 15th, so this is the Saturday after our game, Fort Lauderdale, you're not going to believe this, Liz, they lost to Sporting Jacks. Well, and the other thing is, you're not going to believe the Sporting Jacks won. That was a 2-0 result for Jacksonville. Georgia Brown in the 21st minute and Bailey DeSmit in the 29th minute. So they got that done quick at the beginning of the game essentially and just saw it out. I'm sure Fort Lauderdale was not much of a threat based on how they looked against us, although technically we beat Fort Lauderdale by more goals.
I won more,
so we're better than Sporting Jacksonville in my cope and delusional mind. And then the other game was the Zephyr versus Brooklyn FC. Keep tabs on this one because Brooklyn is our next opponent, and Zephyr just smashed them 3-0. Reese Tappan got the 37th minute goal. Tori Zierenberg. See, this is why I shouldn't tell anyone how to.
She's new. I haven't heard her name
yet. Anyway, she got the goal in the 41st minute, and Ginger Fontenot got the goal in the 62nd minute. So they just totally schooled Brooklyn, and I think that bodes kind of nice for us because Brooklyn is not looking too hot, and we play them on Wednesday. But overall, your standings update, I want to start including these. So if you don't keep up with the league week to week like we do, you just have an idea of kind of what's going on. Jacksonville extended their lead at the top of the table over Lexington. The Sun remain in ninth place on 15 points. It's not looking great. But Carolina, off of their win against us, was able to move up into the playoff places. So they're on 26 points in fourth. So mental math, if no one else played games and the Sun just played games, we would still need to win like four games even to be in a playoff spot. And that's all the other teams are also still playing games, so they will also be earning points. There is in the Heatwave Discord a little bit more of a mathematical breakdown of our playoff chances, but I will give you my take on it by just reciting the message I sent at full time to the group chat. Season's done. That's it. That's how I feel personally. This game had to be a win because, as I've said in our preview, Carolina is one of the teams we would probably need to pass to be able to make it into the playoffs. And so the 6-point swing of not winning this game and actually they won the game puts them at a big advantage over us. Even if we won almost all the games for the rest of the season, giving them these 3 points here definitely harms our ability to get in if it wasn't already low enough, which I think it's like now in the decimals of percent chance to make the playoffs. So, but I didn't hear no E. I didn't hear no bell. But anyway, season's gone.
We're just playing for pride now, whatever little we have left.
We're playing for women's empowerment coming up on Wednesday, March 18th versus Brooklyn FC. That is our next game. It is Women's Empowerment Night. It is also our championship banner hanging night. If you don't remember, we did win the championship less than a calendar year ago. So if you've been feeling down about Sun football, you can just Google Tampa Bay Sun championship like I did earlier today and scroll through all the wonderful photos of barely any of our current players lifting that trophy and celebrating, because that was a good time and we've had not many of those since. And my note on it being championship banner night is, oh, also quickly, the giveaway for the first X amount of people, I don't remember the number, is a mini championship banner. And that might be the greatest thing I've ever heard. So I will be going in as early as I can to make sure I secure at least one of those. But also, I don't get off work until 6, so I'm not going to get in that early because I still have to get there from where I live. So we will see how a Wednesday game goes. But my note on that was that we only won the Fort Lauderdale game to keep us mathematically in it by this game. So, like, we could have lost Fort Lauderdale, just, you know, conceded the rest of our season, just said, look, 9th place, that's fine. It's going to be crazy when we win the championship again next year. But we won it so that way we weren't mathematically eliminated from the championship this year.
I'll take it.
By our championship banner raising, which is controversial that it's happening 22 match weeks into the season. You can check the Heatwave Discord for people's opinions on that and many other matters related to the Tampa Bay Sun. That for the sake of brevity,
they were going on Twitter being like, how many rings do you have? Bitch, we don't have rings. They gave us stupid jackets.
Rings are really expensive. So, yeah,
but Orlando got them, and Orlando even made a replica for fans to buy.
That's pretty fire.
Like $40. Like, that's totally worth it in my opinion.
The replica is kind of fun, yeah.
I would absolutely buy a replica rig for $40.
I like that idea. Well, when we win the championship in the 27-28 season. Wait, 26-27. I gave up a whole nother season.
Damn, it's been 2 years.
Well, this is the bad year, and then we need the rebuild year, and then the championship year. Right, when we win the back-to-back 26-27-28 double championship, that's an idea. Tampa Bay Sun FC front office, I know you're listening, go write that down. Anyways, all of this is to say that's happening at the game on Wednesday. And just to give you an idea of where we're at in the table, Brooklyn is a team that looks a lot like us, and that is not a compliment to either of us. They are 7th, so they're above Fort Lauderdale and us. But they are on 19 points. We're on 15. They have a -7 goal differential. I believe we're -9. I think we're definitely not double digits anymore. Anyways, both of us have pretty negative goal differentials either way. And they are on, including that result against the Zephyr on this weekend, they are on two losses in a row, and they also had two draws before that. So their spring has not been really great. They thought they were in the fight. I think they were actually in the playoff spot heading into the spring, the fourth place spot, and they have just dropped down and they have kind of just spun their wheels. I would love for that to continue against us and us get some energy and some good vibes with the win on Wednesday. But we will see if we can bounce back from this loss, and if they have anything to say on their end as well, bouncing back. I mean, 3-0 is pretty bad. That's where Fort Lauderdale made their change, was after a 3-0 loss. They decided the coaching change was needed. So I don't think we've seen anything like that in Brooklyn. I actually haven't really kept up with if any staff changes have happened due to this half of the season, but I don't think so, because they did look pretty solid in the first half, and it's only been this recent run that they've really fallen off. So I think they might still believe that that staff can get them back into it, and that's going to start after Wednesday, because we're going to beat them, hopefully. Who should we look out for in terms of players on Brooklyn, Liz?
Well, someone to look out for is Kelsey Daughtry, their goalkeeper. They only have one clean sheet the whole season, guys. We literally could not have more going for us for this match.
They might be worse than Fort Lauderdale right now.
Yeah, and they will be out two of their international players, because the international players are doing so good that they have advanced to the finals in whatever. And I think one is AFCON, and then the other would be, I don't remember which one South Korea is in at the moment. I'm sorry. But Naeong Chin and Jennifer Cujo still out on international duty. Really good for us. Yeah. They also have the second most goals conceded, one less than us. So we're that little bit better. They did have two players. They also had two players on the Super League Team of the Month in February, Sam Kroger and Kelsey Hill. Those are definitely players that we're going to have to be looking out for. Jess Garziano and Leah Scarpelli are also pretty big Brooklyn names, and they who are always in the starting lineup and are usually dangerous, but I guess not in that last match.
Yeah.
Did I also say they have the most yellow cards? I think that's funny. They have the most yellow cards.
They're trying to be us so bad. They're bad. They get a lot of yellow cards. Like, come on. Just change your name to the Brooklyn Sun.
No, that's the other, that's the men's team.
Oh. Well, fair enough.
Suns, like S-O-N.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's funnier when I explain it, though.
No, it is. It is totally funny. Are they? But they don't get confused with the Connecticut Sun, which isn't going to exist. Is the WNBA going to play this year? We'll find out. Mm-mm. We'll see. Do you think this game is promising, Liz? Do you have a score prediction for us?
Oh, I don't wanna. I'm gonna let's pull a score prediction out of my butt. 1-1 draw.
I hate it.
Yeah, right? I hate it too, honestly. This is my gut, so my gut is usually right, unfortunately. Well, it wasn't right. Well, no, I was optimistic last week.
Brooklyn is bad, and we should be angry after our loss. I have done a complicated, intense mathematical calculation, and I am going to say 3-1 to the Tampa Bay Sun.
Oh, okay.
Because last time I guessed 2-0 against Fort Lauderdale and we won 3-0, and I realized I should always swing for the fences.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that, and I'm saying a 3-1 win. And we will see how that goes, because maybe I don't believe in it, but maybe I do.
Super producer Eureka says a 1-0 win.
Solid. Also probably extremely data backed, but maybe actually possibly really instead of my made up data.
Wait, what does Sunrise say? Or have you not? Are we behind on Sunrise? We are behind on Sunrise. We'll get to Sunrise.
We'll get to Sunrise.
Yeah. Your own making your own ELO rating system is very complicated, guys. Please bear with us.
Yeah. Also, did you know ELO is some guy's name? That's my favorite fun fact about ELO. is that really? His name? Yeah, you would think a three-letter abbreviation, or you would think a three-letter name for a rating system would be an acronym. Not an acronym. The guy's name was just like something ELO. I'm not gonna. It's a. He's like European, so. But yeah, his. It's like the ELO system, like because it's his system. So, that's my fun fact about anytime anyone.
What do you mean it's ELO. Not an acronym?
It's not. It's his name.
It's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean that's.
It replaced like. The Smith scoring system or something, and they were like, oh, we'll okay. just name it after the guy, and they named it ELO. But ELO as a word sounds so cool that we think it must be an acronym that means something.
Yeah, it's not. No,
it's just his name, just like oh. if it was the Smith scoring system or whatever it was called before. So yeah, there you go. You stay to the end of a Sun FC episode, RBLR Sun FC episode, you gotta
learn
weird trivia knowledge. Well, do we have anything else this week that we wanted to get into?
No, I want to say that about wraps it up. We will see you guys on Wednesday at Women's Empowerment Night. Hopefully get your mini championship banner. Make sure you are following us on the YouTubes where you can see our beautiful faces. At RBLR Sports on YouTube, at RBLR Sun FC for all the other news that our super producer puts out because he's the greatest.
Agree.
All right. We'll see you guys later.
Have a good week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.